Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Profoundly Pointless Thanksgiving Special.
It's sweaty, it's tight, it's just, it makes you feel great. And then with regards to the hood, it makes me feel like a different person. It's an alter ego. I did it in my garden and I'm, you know, flipping up and down my garden. God knows what my neighbours thought in this full get up. The rubber doll where someone wanted a video where I was literally still.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. My name is Nick VinZant. If you get a chance, subscribe, leave us a rating or a review. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for all of your support. So I want to get right to our first guest. This is latex model Kitty Malone. When we talk about latex, what's the appeal?
It's different. It's taboo. When I first started this in 2014, I accidentally got into it. So naturally, I've been a bit kinky and into tight clothing. And then someone suggested I try a latex hood. I mean, of course, you look at them and you're like, what the fuck is this? You know, so you put it on and I just loved it instantly. The way that it made me feel like somebody else, I guess. Like it completely changes my look. So my first item was a latex hood. Loved it. Loved the way it looked. So then I branched out and got more latex stuff. I love the smell. I love the feel. I love that it's different. I just love it.
Do you feel in any way like, are you transforming yourself?
I like the way that it's feeling, the tightness of it, the way it feels against your skin. I love the smell of it. In the winter, it's really hot. In the winter, it's really cold. And in the summer, it's really hot. So there's no, you know, in between with latex. It's sweaty, it's tight, it's just, it makes you feel great. And then with regards to the hood, it makes me feel like a different person. It's an alter ego, I would say, that it creates, that I'm not this, you know, my day-to-day person. I can be somebody else when I put the hood on. So as soon as the hood goes on, Latex Kitty is there. She's like completely a different person to me, I would say.
How would you kind of describe yourself as Latex Kitty?
Very dominant, but also very dirty. So I switch. I can be very submissive because I love being dirty, but then I love people being dirty for me. Like, I think a lot of girls that do this, that we have a platform, either whether it be Twitter or Instagram, where we can show off, but guys don't. So a lot of my clients, I just love watching them be dirty and having that opportunity to show me. And that's where my dominant side comes in, where I can tell them what to do and they love it and I love it. So it just changes me in a way where in real life, I'm not very dominant. I'm really sort of submissive and a people pleaser and will do a lot of things just to please people. Whereas when this is on, I'm like, I take no shit.
How did you get into it?
Well, an ex-boyfriend just gave me a hood and he was into it. And I just sort of was like, that's a bit strange. But yeah, I'm going to give that a go because I give everything a go. And yeah, put the hood on and it was just like, I love this. I love the way it makes me look. And then I just bought little bits and pieces to go with the hoods. Then I started a Twitter page for fun back in 2014. And I was actually working as a wedding planner at the time. So, dealing with horrible brides and horrible brides' parents. So, on my days off, I would just be posting pictures of myself in latex and then thought, I just want to show off even more. So, joined some webcam sites and on my days off, started camming. And then, yeah, that took over. I left my job and just cammed all the time.
So is the latex part of it? Is it a sexual thing and necessarily, right? Like, is that, or is this more of a
It's
lifestyle
both. It's a
thing, I guess?
lifestyle and it's a sexual thing. So for me, obviously, it's a lifestyle where I'll wear it if I'm not working. So I don't have to be necessarily on cam. I will just wear latex. But because it's my full-time job, I'm very lucky that I just get to spend most days in latex. Like it's my job. So it's become both.
The latex that you have on, right? Like, describe me the, can you describe to me kind of the different parts? This part is this part is that,
Well, this is
etc.
because obviously I wanted to make it very PG. Just a latex skater dress and a hood. All my hoods are from Rubber 55, but these hoods are like 110 to £170. So dollars.
300 to 400.
Dresses and skirts and tops like this you can just buy from, any good, decent latex shop or online shop.
Is there differences in terms of like, okay, some people will wear the hood, some people will wear the whole thing?
There's only very few girls in, the latex industry or whatever that do the full shebang, the hood. I think, latex skirts, dresses, leggings, that's becoming more mainstream now. Like you see Kim Kardashian, etc., on the red carpet in a latex dress, even though I think she did rock a catsuit with built-in gloves and everything's a full-on closure. But I'm yet to see a famous person rocking a full hood and catsuit and everything. But with the hood, it gives you that sense of mystery of like what's underneath the hood. Like very rarely when I do post pictures of me without a hood, everyone's like, "Oh, you're too pretty. You don't need to, wear a hood." It's not what it's about. I'm not covering anything, it's just that I like the full coverage, the full mystery, the full transformation into being Latex Kitty.
Really? What about for men though? Like, is it now, do men have generally kind of the same reasons for getting into it as women do?
Well, I think it's more popular for men. Like there's a lot more guys out there into latex. And I think it's for them. Like I have some clients that like to dress up as a female latex girl. So they wear the dresses, they wear the feminine hoods, they wear the makeup with it. They transform into their alter ego, because it makes them feel good. So, yeah, I mean, it's more popular for men, I'd say, definitely.
Of the 100% of people who do this, like 60% are men, 70% are men. Like, what percentage would you say is kind of men versus women?
I'd say 80. I'd say 80% of men do it for the sexual, reference of it. They do it because, one, they like the latex, two, it's sexual. Whereas the 20% of girls that do it, I think it's the look. They like the way it looks. I mean, when I started in 2014, there was a handful like of girls that did this full on rubber coverage stuff. Like now there's thousands of girls that, you go on Twitter and they're in latex. It has become more popular because it's hot. It looks hot. But like you just said, you'll mainly find it on girls that are body confident, that, are that size that they can put a size small latex dress on. Whereas I do it because it feels good. But yeah, I'd say majority, it's definitely more men. Like a lot of men clients that I have, they ask me, how can I get the missus in latex? Because the wives look at it like, oh, that's strange. I'm not doing that. That's just like, not a lot of girls would go, yay, give me that hood, or yay, give me that rubber catsuit, unless they were super confident, super young, super like up for that. It's just, it's not something that a lot of girls would run to and want to get into.
Do you feel like it's stigmatized at all?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's, I've got an Instagram account and I've lost about 5 Instagram accounts because of this. You know, like, I'm in full latex, posing in my latex, and it will get deleted. Whereas you've got, you know, reality star models in their bikinis showing basically everything that's fine. But it's, what is the latex just is not acceptable on mainstream platforms, unless you're obviously on Twitter where everything's acceptable. You're just, you know, I've lost accounts just so many times. And I know other latex friends and content makers, creators that have just lost their accounts. Whereas you just compose in a bikini that's this big and it's absolutely accepted. So I don't know why latex is not accepted and this look is not accepted. Because in this day and age, we're learning to accept a lot of things now, you know, which is right. But this still is not accepted. So we need to change that.
It is interesting in the sense that, like, right, like, you're fully clothed.
What can you see? You cannot see anything. If I maybe wasn't with the hood, maybe more accepted, but it's the hood. It's because it comes across very gimpish or very bondage or SNL, you know, like the taboo of this latex where it's just a hidden, dirty, naughty thing that we do. It's like, you know, disgusting.
Now, does it go kind of hand in hand with some other kinks or fetishes? Or is it kind of, no, people are just into this. They're not necessarily into this, 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 and this.
I know lots of, like, the, you know, I'm a, I make custom videos for people, and they can all vary from, you know, just wanting me in latex, JOI, just, you know, putting on gloves and just embracing my latex. And then I get some requests that could be, could you put a scuba mask on and some flippers and, you know, the, you know, the frog woman sort of look, which I did do a custom for once, and I don't know if you've ever walked in flippers. They're not easy.
No, I would imagine that was kind of difficult.
I mean, give me heels. I can do heels, but I was not, you know, expecting this. You know, I slipped into these flippers, and I did it in my garden, and I'm, you know, flipping up and down my garden. God knows what my neighbors thought in this full get-up, and it was difficult, really difficult. So yeah, people like all sorts of fetishes mixed in with it. Like nylon is really popular. Like nylon and men. Yeah, I don't know what you guys, you know, you love nylons, but nylons under the latex or mixing nylon with latex, nylons over my head, over my hood. That's kind of cool.
Okay, so this is our location divide. Nylons are pantyhose, right?
Yeah, right.
Do you have sex in the latex?
Yeah. Everything's got zips and holes and things like that. So, I mean, you can feel every part of my body through this latex. Like, it's not thick. Well, you can buy very heavy rubber, obviously, but my latex is really thin, so yeah, you can just rock and roll in this and do what the hell you like in it. Sex, whatever.
Even like the guy's thing? That's covered or that's not covered?
Well, you can buy sheath pants, which means that the guys are covered in latex. Or you can just, the guys would be in a catsuit with a zip, so it comes out. Same with girls. You can have sheath pants where things go inside, or you can have zips where there's no latex or rubber there, so.
I know you do camming stuff. Do you do in-person as well?
No. No, I don't do real-time meets. I used to, but I just now, like, you know, this is my business. I like doing what I'm doing, but this day and age, I don't feel safe to do that anymore because you just don't know who you're going to get, and I'm a safety girl, and I just enjoy seeing my regular clients like this online. We can have a drink, we can chat, like, have fun. I'm not the sort of girl that cams and I'm like, right, I'm just gonna fuck myself or, you know, watch you do that and there I go. I have a lot of clients that we have a lot of fun and then we catch up on life. Like sometimes I'm a therapist to them. Sometimes they just like hanging out with someone in latex because they don't get the opportunity to do it because, again, their wives, girlfriends are not into it, or, you know, you can't just really rock down the pub in your latex, can you? And hey, guys.
When you do like the cam sessions, will generally the clients, will they be dressed in it as well? Or
yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they don't like to show their faces, so it's just torso, but they're always 99.9% in latex, and 99.9% I'm watching them give me a show. Like, they rock it. So I have an easy time, really.
When by giving the show, like, they're doing their thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I love watching, you know, them have a great time in rubber. Like, girls get to show off all the time. Like, we do videos, we post them on Twitter, we have our OnlyFans, we have whatever platforms that we have. And, you know, guys watch us and love us, but guys also like to be watched. And I love it when I open my cam and you've got a guy in rubber that loves rubber, that's embracing their time and just having fun. Like, I love to watch that.
When you kind of talk about like a cam session or something like that, like how does one kind of typically go?
It will be a few chats and, you know, I like to see their outfit, where they bought it from, give me a bit of a spin, and then we have a chat. I don't like to open the cam and be like, bish, bash, bosh. You know, that's too much pressure. Get to know them a bit and then get kinky, get a bit dirty, talk a bit naughty, and whatever they want to see me do, I'll do. Within reason, obviously. And then, yeah, we have fun.
But when it looks at this, when you talk about latex, like, are there certain things that people in latex, like, they want to see that would be unique to that kind of area? In the sense, like, okay, if this was just, I'll use the word quote-unquote, like, normal sexual attraction, right? And you know what I mean by that. But if you're in latex, oh, you got to do this. They want to see this. They want to see that.
I mean, most popular is in latex, people don't want to see boobs, or, you know, they want to see full coverage. They don't want to see my hands. I not have to, but I wear gloves. It's all about the full coverage. So the same with me, really. When I open my cam, I don't immediately want to see dick. I want to see coverage, and then we slowly get it out. Gas masks as well, really, really popular, like Breathe Play, the gas masks, gags, you know, just anything really kinky would go, you know, that goes with latex. I like men that make an effort with makeup and lipstick if they want to embrace their feminine side. But I'd say a lot of men that I cam with are very submissive, like a lot of men. I don't get a lot of cam sessions where men are dominating me and I'm the submissive one. Most of my clients are very submissive and just want to show the fuck off. So it's fun.
Are they usually straight men?
Yeah, usually straight. Have wives, family, you know, whatever. They just want to just tap into that other alter ego of theirs, like I do. Like, I guess normal, can you say normal, vanilla girls,
right? Yeah.
That are camming, they get a lot of guys on their cam that are like, do this, do that, you know, dominant men that just want to watch a sexy girl doing, you know, whatever. Whereas I think this latex thing just draws out very submissive men, just embracing their submissive side.
You talked about like gas masks and gags. What's the appeal of that? Like, why is that kind of connected to it?
Well, it's the Breathe Play. It's the, you know, reaching orgasm when your lack of, you know, air or whatever. So it's gas mask. It's also freaky. It's weird. It's just, it goes with the latex. Like, I think I have one here. Obviously, I'm not going to put it on, but, you know, your gas masks that you can wear whilst having fun with your doxy, or, you know, it's just, it's fun, it's different, and it's restricting your airwaves. So just even the hoods do, because I mean, you can't see my nostrils, but they're very restricted on. But I mean, I can breathe, but there are hoods which I have that don't have a mouth, don't have eyes. So they're literally just nose holes. So it's complete full coverage, which is also really popular.
How do you get it on? And even like the whole kind of outfit, like, is it hard to get on? It seems like, 'cause the only thing I've put on like as a wetsuit, and like, that's a pain in the ass.
You just have to make sure that you use lots of dressing aid. So I use a dressing aid, but then my house gets covered in lube. So yeah, whenever my friends come around, you know, they're slipping and sliding all over my floors, because I've been doing it for 10 years, so it's just embedded in my floors. Even my poor dog, when she walks, she's like, slips on the lube, and I'm like, sorry. Like, my house is covered in lube, like the handle, like, yeah, lubey, latex. It smells of latex. There's dildos lying around, and the poor dog's slipping all over the place, but...
What do people think when they come into your house, like, for the first time? Like, if somebody was coming to, like, work on the electrical system or something, are they like...
Yeah, well, I've had that. I've had, you know, people exactly come and work on the electric, and they've seen all my latex, and they must come down and be like, I see you. And I'm like, I see you looking. So you can ask the question and I'll answer it, but I just see you looking. And they're probably, you know, when they leave and they get home and they're like, you never guess what went to this house today. And well, the floors were really slippy. And there was all this latex hanging everywhere, and dildos and torsos. And it's a story to tell. I don't say anything unless they ask, and I'll tell them.
Are you ready for some harder/listener-submitted questions?
Yeah, of course.
What is your personal favorite, I guess, outfit or latex or whatever?
So that it would be a full catsuit. And black. I'm a big black latex catsuit person. Like, full rubber. No skin showing. Like, I love these hoods, but also I love the ones without the hair, so... No hair, just rubber doll look, even, you know, where you can, I get a lot of videos where I, you know, can you just be still, like, doll-like? Because, you know, I've got a mannequin outfit as well, which is mannequin skin color with a mannequin hood with a condom mouth, which is just, you know, rubber doll. That has to be my favorite look.
That's the rubber doll kind of thing?
Yeah.
Are there different kind of subsections that you would say of kind of the latex fandom?
Yeah. So it's well, you can just be anything and anyone in latex. Like, the rubber doll is the most popular within girls, just to be that latex rubber doll.
Even amongst, I would say, people who are in, is fandom the right word? Whatever word I should be using, I guess. But even things are like, oh, that's pretty rare even within this. Like, an aspect of latex interest, they're like, oh, you don't see that too often.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, because it's normal to me. Like, you'd have to ask that to a vanilla person, because when I get custom requests and... they're like, sorry, this might sound a bit weird, but can you do this? I'm like, that's not weird.
Like, you can.
This just, nothing shocks me. Nothing's weird. It's just, it all goes, I think, with part and parcel of when you're introducing latex that is a bit taboo, that is a bit strange to some people. Nothing is weird to me. Like, embrace your fetish. Like, embrace anything that turns you on. Just do it. Just ask for it and I'll do it. And within reasons, obviously. I'm not going to do all nasty stuff. I just do fetish stuff in rubber.
This is kind of leads us in, I guess, to that one. What would you say is your most interesting request?
The rubber doll, where someone wanted a video where I was literally still. But I had to try and, you know, the Barbie movie's just come out. So there's a lot of, you know, these doll-like actions, which I'm not great at. But, you know, just literally a video that was just... me being completely still and then gradually doing stuff, but in a doll-like way. He just wanted that, you know,
movement pattern.
Yeah, like the mannequins, you know, the guys that all have those rubber dolls that are just stiff. So that was quite interesting to do. I've done a lot of videos where I've been submissive and then instantly turn dominant. So it's just like, you know, you do a bit of a screen fade and then it's all of a sudden like right now.
Oh, like a transition.
I've had a lot of requests as well with, can you wear different contact lenses so that you can be, you know, this nice person 1 minute and then all of a sudden you turn evil and I'm like, oh, okay.
How popular would you say that it is?
I think that it's become a lot more popular. Like, when I first started, a few girls did this, and now there's hundreds of girls that do this. You've got, you know, lots of celebrities now that are wearing latex. I think that it's becoming a bit popular because it's different. You know, OnlyFans is such a big game now. You know, I think OnlyFans is, oh, I can sell pictures of my feet. Let's get on OnlyFans. That's the, you know. But the latex is different. I think any young girl could probably do okay on OnlyFans. But I choose to do this before even OnlyFans came out, before all these different platforms that girls can now just jump on and make instant dollar. It's becoming popular because it's different. But also, it's not as easy as your vanilla girls that are on OnlyFans. Because, I mean, I'm only going to attract people that are into latex. When I first started and I first started camming, you know, I'd get like, can you take your hood off? What's that all about then? Like, you look like a Teletubby because I'm, you know, this bit with the hair.
And oh, I'll be
like,
yeah.
Get lost, mate. I mean, very funny, but it's not very original. Take the hood off. No. Whereas now, people are like, put the hood on. And girls are, you know, embracing the full hood, the full latex thing to be different and maybe to hide their face so not all their family can see what they're doing. It's, you know, like the masquerade masks that some girls wear. No, just put a latex hood on and pair it with a load of latex and it's hot. But you're only going to attract latex lovers and fetish people.
But that, now, this is, can this be the full-time living? Is this the full-time living?
Well, this is my full-time living. You know, I don't have a regular job. This is what I do. Also, I pay tax on my business. Latex Kitty is a business. Like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Kitty, give us a discount or can I have that? You know, no, because I pay tax. This is a business. Like, buying my latex goes through the business. I make a full-time living from it. However, it's not as easy as some girls. Well, I can do that. It's taken me 10 years to get to where I am. You have to get your followers. You have to get your regular clients who you have to look after. So I'm not just speaking to them on cam once every, you know, 2-3 weeks when, you know, they can get time to cam with me. I'm chatting to them all the time. So sometimes it feels like I've got 10 boyfriends on the go. I'm like, hi. Because I like to speak to them. I like to catch up with them. It's constant. And custom videos are really becoming popular, you know. That butterfly effect with Pornhub and the way porn is going. You can go onto Pornhub and you can type in your interests and it's just same old. A lot of men want that special. They want, right, Kitty, can you do this? Can you say my name? And I'm like, yep. So they're getting a video that's 100% for them. So custom videos, there's a big market for it. Whereas guys are getting bored of just general porn that, you know, they want me to be, so then, John, can you do this? Can you do that? And they'll watch that over and over and they'll book another one and another one based on different scenarios and things. But yeah, it's custom videos. It's all about the setup. It's about getting ready. It's the outfit. I mean, the business is making money, but it's also costing money. Latex isn't cheap. So, but yeah, I've managed to do it. But it's not easy, and not every girl could do it, I don't think.
I wanted to ask you about the cost in a second, but like, so if you're making custom videos, like how many would you say that you make over a week, over a month? Like how many requests do you get for that?
Custom videos, I'm getting 10 a month, I'd say.
Latex outfits, like how much would you say that they generally cost?
Well, the recent catsuit that I just bought was £500. Don't know what that is.
$1,200 to $1,500, call it American.
Yeah, so that was with big blow up boobies, and not that I need it, but I wanted really big blow up boobies. So that was 500. But a latex catsuit would cost you 300 to £350. And like I said, hoods start from about 110 to 170.
Can you clean it?
Of course. You can't put it in the washing machine, though. So it all goes in. I just pile it up. And then I chuck it in the bath with some soapy water, put some Vivi Shine in it after, rinsing it after, and then just leaving it all hang to dry. But yeah, it needs to be cleaned because the rubber also gets your body salts and your sweat all into it. So yeah, you have to clean it. These hoods are now going to be covered in my makeup under this. So yeah, you asked if I do meets. I am looking for a rubber gimp to come and just clean all my fucking latex. Because it's boring. And I, this pile, and dildos. Piles of dildos and latex I have to clean. That's not fun. So yeah, apply to me direct. Can we clean my latex?
But is a gimp a fundamentally different thing? Or is that just what you call the male version of it?
No, not the male version, just a very submissive man that wants to just do the fuck as I say, like, you know, be my ashtray, just clean my latex. Like, a lot of men just want me to urinate in their mouths that just literally would do anything, like, you know, collar, submissive, do this, pour me champagne, bring me dinner. That's what they want to do, which obviously is really difficult to get a guy in the vanilla world to do that, because, you know, all my ex-boyfriends didn't even wash a dish, let alone literally come and worship me and do exactly as I say. I mean, it's a dream for a woman to have this kind of guy in her lives.
I mean, I'd take one, to be honest with you. Like, if I didn't have to do anything, I'll take one.
Yeah, there's guys out there that literally message me, like, I want to be your full-time submissive slave. And I'm like, okay, come here. I've got a garage that needs cleaning out. You know, they'll do, it doesn't have to be sexual, by the way. You know, it's not, you know, coming and licking my feet or licking my face, or they would literally do anything. That's, you know, just to be a slave.
And not even expecting anything kind of sexually from you?
Oh, gosh, no. Mistresses don't give, you know, slaves anything.
I guess what's in it for them then? That's just what they like?
I don't know. Like, that they just love being submissive. They like having a mistress to worship. Like I said, there's not many guys out there that would do that. So they're getting off on it somehow. Of course they are. But they, you know, they don't get sexual rewards. In fact, they get caged and they can't even touch themselves for weeks and months on, you know, whatever. The sex, it's not always about the sex. You know, I see, I have cam people that I talk to that don't necessarily want anything. They don't want to wank or, you know, for me to do anything. They just want to talk purely about rubber or just for me to abuse them verbally. Just call them pathetic and useless, and that's what they get off on.
Do you ever just wear it around the house?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Formula One fan, so I like my racing. So when I'm watching those shiny cars come out of the pits with those, you know, those slick tires, I'm in my rubber. I'm like, ugh. They must smell good. Yeah, I wear rubber when I'm watching racing. If I'm going out for dinner with friends, sometimes I'll just wear a rubber thong or something. I would like to be able to just go out in rubber leggings, but my friends would be like, Kitty, because again, and why, I don't know. You just get too much attention, maybe, I don't know.
Even like the pants, you couldn't even wear the pants out. You feel like people are like, what's...
Oh, no, I think you could wear leggings. I mean, I do wear leggings out, you know, but my leggings sometimes have, well, most of them have feet, and the sweat sort of bulges up in your feet and you slip a lot. So if you're wearing heels and rubber leggings, I fall over quite a lot.
Where do you think that this goes in the future? Like, do you see this as an evolving kind of kink slash fetish? Do you think, where do you think it kind of goes? Or is like, it's kind of what it is.
I think it's going to become more popular. I'm not saying mainstream. I just think I would like to see it become more acceptable. Whereas girls that wear it are not frowned upon, looked down on, and looked as being weird, strange, or men for the same reason. I'd like it to become more acceptable. We're not doing any harm, you know. It's just a fetish, just like everything else. But like you said earlier, you put latex and you immediately put it towards sex or whatever. It doesn't need to be that. It just is a fabulous material and a fabulous look. I'm not saying that I'm going to be rocking a restaurant, you know, in a full hood, and that's what I'd like to see. I'm not saying that, but I'd like to see rubber and latex become more mainstream, and I'd like to see less accounts being deleted from Instagram because of it, because we're just covering ourselves. We're not doing any harm.
That is kind of the ironic aspect of it, right? It's like you were deleted for being fully clothed.
And then girls that wear nothing, it's fine.
That's pretty much all the questions that I have. Is there anything that you think that we missed or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. Just hope that everyone gives me a follow. If I'm allowed to say my OnlyFans / LatexKitty XXX and my website, which is LatexKittyXXX.com. And loads of other platforms, which just literally LatexKittyXXX and Twitter, LatexKittyXXX.
I want to thank Kitty so much for joining us. If you want to connect with her, we have linked to her on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. And we've also included her information in the episode description. If you want to see more of some of the things that we talked about, the YouTube version of this interview will be live on November 23rd at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. Okay, now let's bring in John Shull and get to the pointless part of the show. What do you think is the best time to eat Thanksgiving dinner?
Probably at the start of the second half of the usually Lions Thanksgiving Day game. So 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock around there.
I think that's too early. I think that is too early to be eating dinner at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. I think 4 or 5 is the best time to eat Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. As I get older, like, I really used to look forward to Thanksgiving. I like it used to be one of my favorite times of the year. Friends, family, food, alcohol. Now it's almost more of a burden. You know, it's like, ugh. It's almost become a holiday that I don't look forward to.
Because it's a Thursday. Like, Thanksgiving was on a Friday, I would actually like Thanksgiving a lot more. I still want the same days off, but I would like Thanksgiving if it was on a Friday more.
That's a whole rant for me. I don't know why we just can't make, like, the big four holidays on a Saturday, regardless of their actual date.
I think that all holidays should be on Fridays from now on. All holidays should be on Fridays, because then you get that day and you get the weekend. Because I think it's hard to have, like, 4th of July is a pain in the ass because you have the 4th and then you got to work the next day. So it's not like you can really have fun.
Labor Day is the same thing. You know, it's on a Monday.
It should be Fridays. All holidays should be Fridays. Mandatory.
Well, I mean, I think maybe we should start something. Let's start a petition that nobody will care about or vote on.
We can get at least 3 signatures. Mine, yours, and maybe one other person. Why do you think that 1 o'clock is a good time to have Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I'm going to sound really snobbish here, but whenever I've hosted the last few years, it is much later because I smoke meats, right? So, like, they have to...
He does smoke meat. I'll give you that.
So, anyways, I mean, I would say it's as long as it's between the 1 and the 6 window, you're fine. 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. You don't want to go earlier than that, and you definitely don't want to go later than that, because the whole purpose of Thanksgiving is to fill your tummies, maybe have some alcohol, and then take a nice nap midday.
I could care less about the nap.
Have you ever had a Thanksgiving nap?
I don't think that I've ever taken a Thanksgiving nap. I ever have. I'm not a big napper. I wake up more tired after a nap.
My wife has a thing that I wake up angry for some reason from a nap.
How long of a nap are you taking?
I mean, it doesn't really matter, it seems. I just wake up, even if it's 45 minutes, I feel as if I wasted the day.
So you're mad at yourself, but you take it out on other people.
I don't really think I take it out on anybody. But yes, I am mad at myself.
I mean, if your wife notices, basically your family suffers. That's what she's telling you, that your behavior is making you suffer, your family suffer.
I'm not winning Father of the Year or even Dad of the Year at this point. I had a pretty traumatic experience in the playground this past weekend.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So my kids wanted to, well, my oldest, we were with some friends, some of her friends. I don't really know the parents that well, but you know them, right? They're school parents. And we were at the playground, and they have, I don't know what you call it, but it's old school where you can get on it and you can spin around. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a merry-go-round, dude?
Sure, exactly, yeah. But, you know, all the kids
that's
were
like not knowing what the name of the swings is. Like, what's that thing where you sit on it, it's connected by a chain, you go back and forth, you kind of swing?
Regardless of whatever it's called, the kids were chanting, push us faster, push us faster. Oh, so okay. I just whipped that thing as hard as I could. And surprisingly, I whipped it pretty fast, and like three kids fell off of it, and that ended... That ended the play date for pretty much at that moment.
Was it clearly your fault?
I mean, I said, make sure you're hanging on. And
that's, you're talking to a child. I don't care how old you are. You're talking to children. If you're an adult and they're a child, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It's your fault.
One of the parents proceeded to tell me it was my fault.
Well, yeah, they were 100% correct in that. Like, you should have some common sense and not try to whip this thing as hard as you possibly can.
You know what?
God, you're that parent. Like, I couldn't believe... How can you be that person? Like, I've been at the merry-go-round and specifically thought to myself, like, I'm not going to push this thing as fast as I can because I don't want one of these kids to get hurt.
I mean, don't... You know, like Omar said, don't come at the king.
And you referred to it as a traumatic experience for yourself, not for the children that you threw into oblivion.
Yeah, it was traumatic for me because, you know, once again, I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't know what I was doing. But, I mean, I think there were seven kids on that thing, probably 300 pounds. I did not think I was going to be able to spin the shit out of it, and I did, and it happened.
How, okay, after you get it going as fast as you possibly thought that you could get it going, how many seconds eclipsed before you realized you made a mistake?
Oh, probably within at least less than five, because as soon as I started whipping it, one of the kids wasn't really hanging on. And like they tried doing the thing where they tried like balancing with their hip and they just lost balance. They were the first casualty.
Did they get hurt?
They didn't. One of the kids had, you know, they kind of flew off into like a, like asphalt area. It was bad. You know, I was just trying to be a good dad. I was trying to get my kids out of the house, was trying to give my wife some space, and I biffed it. I absolutely biffed it.
Yeah. I can't believe you. Did you go all in? I mean, did you spin it as hard as you possibly could?
Well, yes, but because I thought, like I said earlier, because I thought of all the weight on it, you know, I didn't want to just spin it and have it go around like once. I wanted the kids to be like, oh,
you wanted to be cool. You tried to go back to high school glory days, and instead you ended up sending some children to the medical.
Nobody went to the medical. I can tell you though that one of the moms there, I saw a different side of her, which I don't ever have to see.
Oh, she was mad. Did she? How close up in your face did she get?
She didn't get that close in my face, but she made everybody know that how irresponsible I was, and you know, and
what did she say? What did she say?
Well, she started with that of how irresponsible I was, and did I not know? You know, did I not know what I was doing? And then another parent came in as she was kind of berating me and was like, "Listen, you need to calm down." And then she got angry at that parent for trying to calm her down. Mind you, it's a Saturday afternoon, so there's really nobody except us and you know this group of parents out there. So it just turned into a disaster.
Were these people that you specifically went to the park with, or were they people that you ran into while you were at the park?
No, that we met up with at the park. Like their classmates, they're parents of other students in my oldest's class in kindergarten.
This makes this much worse.
It is. Yeah.
This makes this much worse. This is a major problem. They're never going to hang out with you again.
I mean, I know. I don't even know what to say. I tried making it right.
Did you apologize?
Ish. I don't know if I said, listen, I was sorry for your kid not knowing how to hang on. But then I offered to buy them ice cream and stuff, like everybody. And half the parents were like, you idiot, it's 35 degrees outside. Like, okay, well, then I don't know what to tell you anymore.
God dang, dude, so. You are just fucking up left and right. You're somebody who really can't be allowed out of the house. It's basically like everybody knows not to do that too much. Like, how old were these children, by the way?
Kindergartners, so I don't know.
Four or five years old.
4 to 5, maybe a 6-year-old, but probably 4 to 5.
Now, what's the only reason that this could have been acceptable behavior is if you would have stood your ground, and when the parents came up to yell at you about something, you should have said, well, really, this is your fault because you didn't teach them how to hang on. Prepare them for the world. They know softies here, and then walk off. You should have turned it around. You should have been mad at them for not preparing their child for the real world. Why do all my kids have to come down to your kids' level because you didn't teach them how to hang on? Really, you're the problem here. You should have turned it around.
Well, I don't think you would do that either. I don't think any man in their right mind would do that. And or a person, not just man. I don't think any person would do that. And I felt legitimately bad. I mean,
you should.
When the first kid flew off, I was like, oh no, you know. And then all the other kids, as soon as they see that, start freaking out. And then, you know, finally one of the dads came in and like was stopped.
You didn't even do anything?
Somebody else had to. Listen, this is the worst analogy I can say, but it was like, you know, it was like playing a war simulator and pressing the button to bomb somebody, and you sit back and you watch it happen, and you're like, I don't know what to do anymore. That's how I was. I was just like, I don't know what to do. I guess I'm just gonna see what happens after it stops spinning.
This is the single worst thing, worst parent. Like, I literally cannot believe that a person like this exists in the world. I really can't. Like, if I saw this person and be like, wait a minute, and then you didn't, like, oh, you should have immediately, at the very least, been like, oh, that's going a lot faster than I thought it was, and immediately try to, like, correct the situation. Like, oh, I kind of fell as I was pushing it. But you just stood there like an idiot.
Here's what makes this just a tad bit worse. Is that my wife doesn't know this happened yet.
Wow. Yeah, I would just keep that to yourself. Don't let that.
She's going to find out. She's going to find out. One of these parents at some point in the future is going to say something, and then she's going to want to know answers, and I'm going to tell her what you told me to say.
You're right. You should have doubled down. Now you've got you have to fight against society's ills. You have to make this a cause to fight against society's ills. You have to be the one man willing to stand up against the tide.
Anyways, is it time for shout-outs so I can move on?
Did anybody get video?
No, there's no video.
That's unfortunate. Local moron spins playground too fast. Stands by, does nothing.
I mean, it couldn't be any worse when I tried going down the slide and my ass got stuck in the slide. That was embarrassing.
Seems like you probably shouldn't be allowed by playgrounds.
That's why the restraining order got lifted.
Well, yeah.
In 2019.
Hey, man. I got nothing.
All right. Well, let's give some shout outs here. Let's see. Lawrence McInnes, Justin Barber, Neil Kinghorn,
ooh,
Jay DeWave, Roy Gibson, Aaron Webb, Michael Rogers, Scott Clenahan, Dennis Briggam, or Bridegam, and Murillo Rodriguez.
What? I'm going to try that one again.
Murillo Rodriguez.
Murillo. I'm sure it's not. Okay, well, close enough.
I'm sure it's not that either. But let's just go with it. So
I would honestly get you banned from the playground. That's going to get you a reputation as somebody who's irresponsible, right? Like, who's the dumb? I would have to. I'm sorry, John. I'm going to call you dumb. That was pretty dumb.
I overestimated my strength, I guess. That's what I thought in that brief moment when I spun it and I was like, oh no.
Well, you got to blame it on somebody else. Being like, look, honey, you were the one telling me to work out. Now I got these big pythons. Not my fault I can spin it so quick.
Well, whatever. Well, Let's see here. Speaking of, I got a couple of bangers for you. And these all kind of come from my weekend, so get ready for
okay.
it.
Okay, okay.
Best kind of slide. Twirly slide, water slide, or just like a regular slide, you know, that just a generic slide that, you know, just goes, you just go down.
I just like a generic slide to go down, honestly. I've never really been on any kind of twirly slide or a covered slide that I really thought was that great. Just give me a long, straight slide. That, to me, okay. is the best kind of slide. I could care less about a water slide. I've never been on a water slide that I honestly felt was enjoyable. Every single one, to me, felt like, I'm going to get hurt here somewhere.
We've kind of touched on this before, but I want a concrete answer from you. And at what age are you too old to go on a roller coaster? Or, so that's part one. Part two is, what age will you feel it like the next morning?
Oh, I don't, you're never too old. I mean, you can always go and do it if you want to. You're never too old to get on it. But I would say that physically, when I started to be like, ooh, my body doesn't like this very much, probably close to 30 is when, at 30 years old, I was like, oh, this isn't happening anymore. Which apparently my father, who's a retired family physician, would say that as you get older, your inner ear doesn't stabilize as well. So it gets really a lot more difficult for you to kind of enjoy it. And now that I haven't been on a roller coaster in a long time, I don't want anything to do with it. Like, it screws me up.
Okay. All right. I'm worried that the lap bar wouldn't shut anymore on me.
You know, I kind of feel like that's how you what you deserve. If I was the parent at that playground and I was looking like, who was that parent who did this? I was like, his name was John Shaw. And then I looked you up and I found out that John Shaw was injured because the lap bar didn't fit on a roller coaster. I'd be like, well, that's what you get. That's what you get. It's what you deserve.
I think that's fair. That's, you know what? Fuck around and you find out. I didn't force any one of those kids to get on that thing. No,
but you did ruin their trust in adults.
Well, that was probably ruined long before I ever came into the photo.
No, that's tragic. Okay.
All right, one more here. This is pretty simple, and I wasn't really sure how to word this, but turkey for Thanksgiving. Do you do turkey? Turkey's way overrated, I think. What's the number one substitute for turkey on Thanksgiving?
We do ham, actually. We don't do turkey on Thanksgivings. We do ham. And I would say that probably started, I mean, since my wife and I stopped going to like other family Thanksgiving. That's probably been in place for the last 5 years. I'd take a ham over a turkey any day. Turkey's not good.
Well, fuck around, you find out. See, I'm starting to turn the narrative now.
That's what you got to do. You got to double down and be like, you know what, Lisa? I understand that your child fell off, but this is not my problem. This is a you problem. You should raise your kid to be prepared for the world, because it's not all sunshines and rainbows out here. Sometimes you're going to run into some stuff, and your kid's got to be prepared, and you're not getting them ready for it.
I really should have just put you on speakerphone. You could have spoken for me.
Look, all you had to say was, house-proof your kids.
You can't house-proof out here in the wild.
House-proof your kids. Don't kid-proof your house, right? You got to teach children to exist in the world, not protect them from it. Double down.
Okay, all right. Can we just move on?
Yeah. Okay, so our top five is top five Thanksgiving sides. What's your number five?
All right, so I think this is love or hate here. But I love it, and it's cranberry sauce, but specifically out of an Ocean Spray can.
I 100% agree with this. I also have cranberry sauce at my number five, but I don't want any kind of fancy cranberry. It has to be the stuff that flops out of the can, still shaped like the can. That's the best cranberries. It's the best cranberries, the stuff that still looks like the can. Don't give me no fancy cranberries.
The first Thanksgiving that my wife and I were together, she was horrified by the fact that I would use the can grooves as like where you to cut.
That's where you cut.
Yeah, that's what it's there for, right? Like,
I don't even think that you have to cut it. Just give me the whole. Just flop it out there. Cranberries cheap is so much better than like, I got real cranberries. Oh, cool. Do you have the stuff that comes in a can that's probably was packaged in 2021? Give me that.
No. Yeah, not so much. Okay. All right. My number four is green bean casserole.
Oh, two words that I cannot stand. Well, three words, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But green bean casserole. Don't want anything to do with that whatsoever.
I think that's just because you haven't had proper green bean casserole.
I think it's because I've had green beans and know that no matter what you do to green beans, they're still green beans and I still don't want them.
Okay. I mean, I will – you put some crispy, dry onions on top. Oh, my God. It's delicious.
So, in other words, the only way to make green bean casserole good is to make sure it tastes nothing like green beans. It's to entirely hide the green bean aspect of it.
I mean, if you're going to – I mean, if you put it that way, yes. That's how you do it, right. Okay. All right. What's your number four?
Four is gravy. My number four is gravy. I think that gravy should be a side in and of itself and is one of the most important parts of the Thanksgiving dinner because it can supplement and add to so many other things. The gravy has to be good. I would also make an argument that even though I'm going to put gravy as my number four side, gravy is the most important thing about Thanksgiving dinner because it can save or enhance every other side that you have.
Here's why I don't have gravy on my list is that brown gravy, which is typically what's served for Thanksgiving, is not good. Country gravy or white gravy, however you want to put it, that's the best gravy. That's why it didn't make my list.
I like a thick gravy. Gravy can be a side on of its own. I would go country gravy over brown gravy, but I'm not gonna pass up gravy.
Gravy,
have you ever drank in it? Have you ever just drank in gravy?
Yes, but country gravy, not Thanksgiving gravy. I actually stay away from Thanksgiving gravy.
Okay. What's your number three?
This is about as vanilla as you can get, but just a good roll.
I have cornbread.
Okay, I mean, similar.
You don't have cornbread? You just go with a regular roll? You get cornbread. Like, this is America.
Never had cornbread at Thanksgiving.
Okay, I guess that means you've never really had Thanksgiving. Seems like that's what the real thing is there. Okay, what's your number two?
Wait, okay, all right. Well, I guess we'll come back to that. But
yeah, if you haven't had cornbread with Thanksgiving, you haven't had Thanksgiving dinner, right? You haven't had that.
No.
It's like saying I haven't had stuffing.
So I wish I could have two number ones because these are equal in my opinion, but I'm going to give the slight edge, obviously, to my number one. So my number two, sweet potato casserole.
I have sweet potatoes. I specifically don't really like the sweet potato casserole with all the mushrooms, or not the mushrooms, but all the marshmallows. If you've got a whole thing where the whole top is just filled with marshmallows, that's just dessert.
Oh,
that's not, man, like sweet potatoes.
You're doing it wrong. I will go on. You know what? Maybe we should post my recipe for Thanksgiving because I think my sweet potato casserole recipe would rival Gordon Ramsay's, okay?
It doesn't.
That's how good it is.
Right, it doesn't. Right? You use tongs? Well, how many pairs of tongs do you use in making it?
You don't. You know what? Because of you, that has now turned into a joke with some of our local here listeners, some of my friends, who, I mean, yeah, it's not that unusual to have a dozen pairs of tongs.
Yes, it is. It's very unusual to... I bet you could go to restaurants, 4- and 5-star restaurants, that can serve 50-plus people at one time, and they don't have as many tongs as you do.
Well, that's because they're not doing it right, I guess.
Yeah, or they are doing it right.
Well, if they serve
my number two is sweet potatoes, too. I bet our number one is the same, which I think is the dominant number one.
If stuffing is not your number one, then I don't know what the fuck you are doing. Excuse my language.
Not having Thanksgiving dinner is what you're doing. Stuffing is the number one. I think that is by far the best. You know what, though? Honestly, I will say this. I like the food after Thanksgiving dinner. Like when you make the leftover plate after Thanksgiving dinner, more than I like the actual dinner. Like when you can kind of put everything on a sandwich, when you can just kind of hit the highlights later in the day. That's why I think that that's why I'm going to say that 4 o'clock is the best time for Thanksgiving dinner, because that gives you enough time to also clear room for the later meal, which in my opinion is the better meal. Sandwich after, to me, is the best part of Thanksgiving.
Oh, so I was going to say to the dessert. I don't know, though. I still think that my top two throughout the entire day, dessert, breakfast, whatever you're going to eat that day, sweet potato casserole and stuffing. I mean, I make those during the year. That's how good they are.
I really think that, honestly, though, we should change up the entire way that we do Thanksgiving. I don't think that we should have turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and cornbread. I think that we should have like an American Thanksgiving of cheeseburgers, pizza, hot dogs, spaghetti, pizza rolls, okay, nachos. That, to me, would be the best Thanksgiving. Skip the turkey. Give me some cheeseburgers, some pizza, tacos, burritos. That's what should be on Thanksgiving.
Okay. I'm fine with the traditional Thanksgiving.
Well, that's wrong. Do you have any honorable mentions? What do you have in your honorable mention?
I mean, not really, to be honest. I mean, there's not very many to pick from. I mean, I have regular mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts, and corn. Those were on my honorable mention.
Corn can be okay. I can put corn in the top seven. I can go mashed potatoes over sweet potatoes on Thanksgiving, honestly.
Oh, my God. No, not even close, but fair enough.
Could do it. I could do it. I could do mashed potatoes over sweet potatoes. Nope. Yeah, I could. I could. I don't have anything else in my honorable mention either. That's pretty much all you need. I don't really think you really need four or five sides. I don't think you need a whole bunch of different stuff.
And everyone fruit. Can just eat sides. Light up a candle, a couple candles.
What's your Thanksgiving candle? Give us a bonus Thanksgiving candle. People should try out for their Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, I think I mentioned this on other episodes, but I just lit last night my first Tis the Season candle, which is my favorite scent by far. And I got like this, the super jumbo. It's supposed to burn for like 120 hours, Tis the Season. So it's
wow. It's how huge. Much did that cost you? 120 candle? 120 hour candle?
Why does it matter? Got it on sale, so.
But how much did it cost you? Right? Whenever you avoid the question, that means you paid a lot.
I paid a good chunk for it. But you know what? I'd do it again.
How much did you pay for it?
I mean, probably upwards of $50.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like $100.
No, it's a mass produced candle, so it,
you know, sorry, snob. God, you're such a snob. For somebody who puts so much time and effort into the things that you eat and consume and have around your body, you think you'd be much more sensitive to the needs of others and not spin them around so fast they fly off the damn merry-go-round.
You fuck around, you find out.
Oh, okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of Profoundly Pointless. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, leave us a quick review. Doesn't have to be some big thing. Just a couple of quick words really helps us out. And let us know what you think are some of the best Thanksgiving sides. I think it's really hard to beat stuffing. Really hard to beat stuffing. But maybe some others could make a run. Like if somebody had cornbread as number one, I wouldn't agree, but I would understand it. The only thing that I wouldn't understand is turkey. Turkey doesn't belong anywhere on this list.